Because Ellie's a horrible pet owner. And, like, when she's like, I have the rent. I just don't know how to pay the rent. Like, what does that mean, Ellie?
She's like, I didn't know where your geotag was. I didn't know where to find you. I'm sure there was a better way than just hoarding the rent and making it late. But Ellie just seems like the type to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, she sees Ferret Bueller chewing on cords. I don't think that's going to be a problem. We'll see. I think it'll be fine. Sizzle, sizzle. Hello and welcome to the 13th episode of the 4th season of Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast that's worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Avis.
I'm Caroline.
And today we are discussing Degrassi Season 4, Episode 17, Queen of Hearts. Roses are red. Ferret Bueller is dead. Paige and Mr. O are full steam ahead. Being a teen on your own is tough, and it doesn't look like Ellie has whatever it takes, but she's not ready to trust Mama Nash again. Over in the B plot, Paige thinks Mr. O is cheating on her because he won't let her come to his apartment, but it turns out he's just poor. And like, the way that she's like, your bohemian, like, man pad, like... This dude can't afford to, like, wash his hair. He cannot.
No, he can't.
He has no bohemian man pad, Paige.
Real quick, because it doesn't fit anywhere else, before we touch on anything, I want to talk about the fact that Nadia is still in the opening, which I notice every week, but then I don't really say anything about. And, like, have we seen Nadia at all in season 4?
No.
Which is a shame, because I bet that Jimmy could use somebody who's used to being in a wheelchair to talk to.
That you got a point there.
And also, Nadia was just kind of interesting, and it would have been nice to see more of her.
Yeah. No, I think that they...
She didn't deserve to win that science fair, though.
Wolves. I think... She's like, hey guys, wolves. Am I right?
It's like that Good Place meme that's like, it comes from like Vicky being like, last night I had an idea. Needles. And Michael being like, that's it. That's the whole plan. Wolves.
Yep. No. I just think that they dropped the ball there. I think that it's funny how they like they're so quick to edit some people out. And then they're like, no, they're Nadia like, can just fuck stay.
Kendra.
Yeah, Kendra just gets put, you know, let's just zoom past. Fuck, you know, they took off Terry.
Like the minute her head hit that rock.
She was gone. So I don't know. It feels like a very big oversight.
Yeah.
It feels like, you know, justice for Nadia. You take her off the fucking credit to bring her back. That sticker is coming.
It's definitely, it's going to be justice for Nadia, justice for Kendra, justice for Fariza.
Yeah, I think, let me like write this down.
Who's that friend of Frankie's before Shay shows up?
Oh,
like Kira. Kiki.
Keisha?
Keisha, it's Keisha. It's I knew it's a K name.
Yeah, it's Keisha. It's justice for Keisha. You said Nadia, Fariza, and who else other than Keisha?
Kendra.
Kendra, duh. Kendra, boo. This show didn't care about you. Not at all.
But I do.
But I do.
Okay, Jimmy.
Yeah, this B plot gives me physical cramps.
Yeah.
Like the very like visceral ick. This is okay, gross.
So one of the things is like they are being so careless constantly. They're flirting in the halls. He's passing her a note in class. You shouldn't be kissing. I mean, you shouldn't be anywhere near her. But if you're going to insist, you shouldn't be kissing her on the cheek at the movie theater.
Yeah.
Because her boss could have just as easily been Mr. Simpson. That place is crowded.
Yeah, that was a very dumb place for them to want to meet.
You are aware of every single person that is there.
Yeah, the mall with a Cineplex or, you know, a movie theater attached in the early 2000s was the fucking hot spot. Like, how do you school night or not? Like, I don't care. You don't risk that. You go a couple towns over
at least. Or you sit in your apartment and you take weird pictures with paper bags on your head. Like,
or you do the normal thing that one does when having an illicit relationship. Relationship. You said relationship. That means I get to stay.
Oh my God, I know. It made me want to puke.
Paige, you are a child. Yeah. And he's like, I'm a student. Just like you. Except I live in a crappy apartment. Except you're a grown fucking man.
Okay, no. Like, it's fine. Well, that too, yeah. I thought you were attacking his apartment status because he's a grown-ass man for a second. And, like,
no.
It's hard out here.
It's hard out here. No,
but, I'm like, not date somebody your own age.
No. What I take issue with is the episode, you know, they play that little guitar strumming music that's supposed to make us feel like everything's okay now. The dun, 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 yeah. Dun, dun, dun. Like, and they want us to feel like this is, like, it's fine. He wasn't cheating on her. He just has a shitty apartment, literally because someone flushed the toilet through his ceiling.
And he can't call you because his phone's shut off because he didn't pay his bill.
Dirt to dirt. I'm a student just like you. I just live. No, it's you are a student, but you are a college student.
I don't care that you're poor, but, like, I mean, I guess girls your age probably do care that you're poor. So, like, date cougars, dude. Don't date Paige.
Don't date children that you teach.
I mean, I guess it's not really fair for me to be like, hey, instead of being a creep, go get groomed by an older lady.
go get an older lady.
You go be the victim.
Who could be your mother. No, just maybe take some time for yourself, Matt. It seems like you got a lot going on. Maybe stop trying to, like, encroach on a developing human brain and you realize that your human brain is still also developing. Because I'm not saying he's not a kid.
And, like, take a shower. He's a version of a kid, but the leak in your ceiling.
Just get some moisture on that scalp.
Or rinse throw some baby powder on it. Like, if you're not going to take a shower. Yeah, either
soak it up or rinse it out. Let it rain and clear it out. I just have a problem with the fact that the show wants us to think that they're so similar and how Paige says, well, you know, my brother's dating Marco. I'm not okay with that either.
I'm more okay with that. Okay, here's why I'm more not okay, being with, that,
okay like, with their relationship. It's not.
I'm not okay with their relationship either, but I think there are a couple of factors worth considering.
One, they were in school together.
One is Marco or Dylan is not Marco's teacher in any capacity. No.
Right.
Two, they were in school together. Yeah. Three, when they started dating, they were both still high school students.
Correct. And I think that is the oversight that, of course, we're not supposed to think about. Those things. We're just supposed to think about the age and the situation. Which I don't agree with.
Right.
I think
there are so many other factors.
Yeah, and I think we've discussed before that he's at max, you know, you're like 22 when you graduate. So he's maybe 19 to 21.
Right.
But I would lean more towards like 2021 because he could be at the bar as early as 19.
Because it's Canada.
Because it's Canada. However, those eyes and that like weariness, I would say he could be at least 20 or 21 final year. Yeah. So I think he's 21, 22. Yeah.
Well, and you never know. He could have like a late birthday or whatever. Or an early birthday, I mean. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
yes, he could be older or younger than the max age to be in your last year. Either way you slice it, like we've said, it's not just the age, it's also the power imbalance. And
right. But even taking out the teacher thing, okay, if you look at Marco and Dylan, let's say they didn't date while Dylan was in high school, like if they started dating right now, it would bother me more than it does as it currently exists.
Well, yeah, because it's more of like they were in the same environment, they were equals,
right?
And then they had an attraction, and there was even because I know we talked about it a lot, maybe in the beginning of the season or the end of the last one, just about how much the years mean in high school, and that Dylan was even saying, you don't have the experience that I do, and maybe you need to date more people before you have a serious relationship, because I like you enough to have a serious relationship type thing. But not enough to cheat on you
when I go to college.
So I don't like that we're forced to like see them kissing. And it's one of the more physically depicted like student teacher relationships.
Right.
And I think it's because he's of the situation they're presenting that he is her student, that he's a student teacher.
Well, and like, it's one of the things that I think Degrassi falls really short. And like, it's not just Degrassi. Pretty Little Liars had Aria marry her teacher.
Literally.
Dawson's Creek has Pacey Witter fall in love with a woman like 20 years his senior. Mm-hmm. And all of the music behind their scenes is like soft romantic music.
It's romantic.
When his girlfriend finds out, she's mad at him, not like, oh, baby, you got groomed. And I know it was a different time. And like, but we also still knew that this wasn't cool.
That it wasn't cool.
And like, Degrassi is definitely one of those shows that played into that, because really like Mr. Oleander gets consequences.
He does.
But the relationship itself is not, at no point really villainized.
Yeah.
And
that's not the conversation.
And Miss O isn't villainized. The only relationship that gets villainized
is Tristan and Yates, the gay one.
Right, which does also absolutely deserve criticism, but so did the other two.
But the tone is so different with the depiction of Mr. Yates and Tristan. That is depicted as cut and dry, predatory.
It doesn't sit right with me.
It doesn't sit right with me either, because the other storylines get this flirty, fun, like, ha ha ha, like we're sneaking around, like, oh, I just, this is forbidden
and
fruit
type
vibes.
And maybe it's because like they realized and they wanted to do better, but doing better would have been a heterosexual relationship.
Doing better would have been perpetuating
the idea that like gay men are predatory.
Gay men are predatory, and like make it like they cast the most like unsettling actor, and like he was able to play unsettling so well. And I feel like the red flags were always red flagging about Mr. Yates. He was a creep from jump, and that's what made that storyline most annoying, is because it wasn't just about Tristan. He was creeping on other people in general.
Right. No, and it just,
and it's like he was just more of a cut and dry predator.
And
actually,
like,
Degrassi,
good that they're showing that teachers who want to fuck students are predators, but it's several years too late.
And whether
your intention was or not, you're like perpetuating really fucked up stereotypes that are harmful.
Yes. I feel like the only student-teacher relationship, not relationship, or, you know, that sort of storyline that I ever was like, okay, this is a heterosexual depiction of the ick and predatory situations that can occur. In Degrassi Junior High, they have this episode with Lucy and a substitute teacher who, like, takes an interest in her because he notices that she doesn't have involved parents and stuff. I don't know how he notices that, but, like, I think he gets her to stay after school with him, or, like, he observes, like, I feel like the show does a good job of making it clear that predators, like, isolate certain children that they think that they can get,
right.
You know, make a connection with easier for some reasons. So it's very cut and dry that, like, he is a creep. He, you know, the old series does a great, the classic series does a great job with a lot more of these, like, and I think not even the nuance, but just, like, making it, maybe because of the time, it was, they were not going to do a homosexual storyline of this nature. So they did something similar with Miss Avery and Caitlin, but it wasn't to this degree. It was more nuanced. This is straight, like, he is
more like Caitlin had a crush on Miss Avery, or, like, maybe had a crush on
maybe had a crush on her. Yes, that was more about Caitlin than,
and it wasn't Miss Avery encouraging that.
Correct. This is straight up, this guy is a creep and he's singling out Lucy because he realizes that she wants, maybe, like, she wants attention and she responds overly to, like, the attention and the praise and whatever. And he's like, okay, I can get this one. And that's super creepy mentality. It's like more of, like, the predator's mentality being talked about in real time. What the kid is observing is happening to them and everything, but it's not, there's no romantic nature about it. And it is because she's younger. Mm-hmm. You know, she's in, I think it's 7th grade or 8th grade at this point. But the creepiness of it is similar to what they do with the Yates storyline.
Well, and it's frustrating, right? Because it's like, you know, I'm sure we've talked about it before. It's mm-hmm. not unusual, it's not inappropriate for children mm-hmm. to have crushes on adults. I remember having a crush on my 2nd grade art teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. From,
what, 8 years old, 7 years old? Like, mm-hmm. that is a reasonable thing that happens.
Yeah.
Teachers or other adults reciprocating those feelings is a thing that happens. It is not a reasonable, acceptable thing that happens. And it's frustrating. You know, I rewatch a lot of 2000s shit. I'll just be like, ooh, I'm going to watch Dawson's Creek, or, ooh, I'm mm-hmm. going to watch Seventh Heaven. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's really disturbing looking back and seeing how normalized that shit was.
Right. No, actually.
Like, I think I told you there's, like, a Seventh Heaven episode when Annie's pregnant with the twins. Mm-hmm. And she goes to this birthing class, but, like, she got the day wrong. And so she goes accidentally to, like, the teen mom birthing class
mm-hmm.
and befriends a couple of these teen moms and brings them to the house to show them how to do mom shit. And neither mm-hmm. of the dads is around. So she and Eric, like, get the dads to come around. And one of the dads is a man. Like, oh, this girl is 16 and pregnant. She got pregnant at 15. Like, just turned 16. And this man is like at least 20. And Eric's like, you need to do the right thing and step up. And, like, no, sir, you need to call the police.
Right. No, that was something that happened so frequently in Gossip Girl that it was, like, stressful. Mm-hmm. They always had Serena in particular sleeping with, like, 45-year-old men.
Mm-hmm.
And she was no more than, like, if she was 18, they had her. So the layout of Gossip Girl, the timeline of Gossip Girl is very convoluted. It's stupid. I don't want to talk about it really. But one of the main things is they let them go to college, but then they kind of stop letting them go to college. So it's unclear how old they are, but then they're like, okay, they were in college for 2 years. Let's make them adults now. It's fine. They don't need to be, we don't need to worry about graduating
college.
Like, it doesn't matter. They're socialites. They don't need school. So Serena goes from being, like, wearing a prep school uniform to, like, the season later, you know, dating dudes that are old enough to be her father.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really creepy. And I mean, of course, Blake Lively doesn't look super, you know, adolescent. She was in her 20s, but the character's not.
Right.
The character's supposed to be perhaps 18. And at worst, that's just the grossest power dynamic ever. And at best, I don't know if there is a best.
Well, and my thing is, okay, so like, I don't necessarily have a problem with, like, if it were to start out romanticized, because from the point of view of, like, you know, not a Lucy and Mr. Pedophile situation, but like a Paige situation, it feels like romance to her.
Right.
And I don't have a problem with depicting that if what eventually happens is the point is driven home that, like, it wasn't romantic, it wasn't okay.
Yeah, it was always a manipulation. It was always predatory.
And they definitely don't do that.
That might even be powerful if done correctly, because a lot of, you know, people who have been in that situation don't realize that that's what's happening. And they might even defend the situation because they're like, I was not a victim.
The number of men who have told me about losing their virginity as, like, young teenagers to substantially older women,
yeah, or girls, yeah, definitely, same. And especially, like, in, like, I feel like it's just so, it's like bragged about,
yeah,
well, and it's glorified and it's gross. It's
because,
like,
the way that we treat the sexual assault of our boys when it's done at the hands of women is different,
which I don't even understand, because I personally, like, the damage is the same. It just manifests differently, especially when, you know, you might have feelings about it. Like, imagine, like, you having feelings about your assault, but, like, other people not even seeing it as assault and thinking that you're lucky for it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's like, disturbing.
That's another layer of fucked up.
I see a post about a female teacher who has raped a student, and she is conventionally attractive.
The comments are sick.
It is so many, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Older, not even older dudes. It's all dudes saying, like, I wish I had
teachers that hot. Like,
right. Like, I would have jumped at this opportunity when I was a kid. Like, where was she when I was in school, or in all of this?
Right. Like, probably would have jumped at the opportunity when you were a kid. That doesn't mean wasn't predatory.
Yeah. It's very, like, I feel like I have to teach. You know, even in the small taught classes, but even in the small capacity that I, like, take care of kids now, I have to tell them, the boys especially, like, it's okay to not want somebody to touch you. You can say, I don't want you to touch me. Like, I want my personal space. Like, you're popping my bubble. All these things that, like, are important to tell little girls are equally as important to tell little boys, because they don't think that they have the right.
Right.
Even just basic bodily autonomy can help, like, be like, no. And not even, like, to say, okay, all assaults can be, you know, like, stop. Like, that's naive. But having that, like, okay, I know that I did not want this to happen, can also help that be more of a communication tool. Like, something happened to me and I didn't want it to happen.
Right.
It's gross. I feel so bad.
And it always kind of, like, the, for lack of a better term, the irony, the hypocrisy of it, right? Okay, so, like, if a grown man is involved with a girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even, like, a teenage girl, we grab the pitchforks, and rightfully so.
Right, talking castration and shit.
But we don't when a grown woman is involved with a teenage boy. And what I think is interesting there is that it is so beaten into our heads, right, that girls mature faster than boys. And so, like, theoretically speaking, and even, like, honestly, I have met plenty of 16-year-old girls who are more mature than 21-year-old men that I know. Which does not make it okay for, like, it's not
no, that's,
okay.
No.
But, like, yeah, okay, there is that maturity thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that would mean that the reverse is true. which means that a 16-year-old boy, the gap in maturity between a 16-year-old boy and a 25-year-old woman should be far greater than the gap between a 16-year-old girl and a 25-year-old guy.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't. Like,
we don't acknowledge that.
We should be
part.
Up in arms about both. But the one that, by that way of thinking, we shouldn't be as up in arms about is the one that we like.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Yeah. I think people use that whole maturity thing to justify fucking younger women. Younger women to girls. Like, that's always been my opinion. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh,
no,
the maturity.
Absolutely.
They can make decisions. And,
like, the cognitive dissonance.
Like, I don't think I've ever had anyone think, like, verbalize that out loud about, like, that there must be that, like, immaturity gap. If there is a maturity gap, there must be that immaturity gap.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we should have, and, like, I can, and I, it's not that they, that there is a natural immaturity gap, in my opinion. It's that they're socialized to be a natural immaturity gap.
Right.
There's not any actual incapability. Like, when there are more resources for, like, okay, talking about your feelings and, like, not being told you can't cry or, you know, express yourself, then maybe there are different things happen and there are outcomes that aren't atypical to the social norm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I would say most guys are taught to, like, but I tell my girlfriend all the time, please don't tell this little baby not to cry. He can cry. Now, if he's whining, that's some different shit.
Oh, yeah. No kid should be
allowed. Fuck that whining shit. But if he's crying and he wants to express himself, because, like, I have a kid now, multiple kids, actually, that just will cry before they'll do anything else because that's their communication tool. That's the communication tool that kids have had since they were born. Like, think about it like that. Now, all I do in response to that is use your big boy words, use your bigger words, because that's, like,
right.
That's literally all it is. It's like, okay, you need to use the communication tool that's appropriate for your age now. Not you can't cry.
Right.
Don't tell your kids they can't cry.
Mm-mm.
That shit is rude.
Yeah. It's super fucking rude. Don't do it. Just don't fucking do it. It's gross.
Just teach your kids how to use their words and eventually they will. And, like, I'm not the boss of you. No, I don't have kids yet, but I take care of kids and it is empowering to give kids the ability to communicate for themselves. Kids are naturally, like, helpful and they naturally are, like, you know, curious and everything, but they don't. Sometimes they lack the social skills that are needed because they're a little aliens, in my opinion. And they need to be told, okay, if you want something, then you need to communicate with your words, not crying.
I don't have kids, but I know a lot of adult men who were told to man up and not cry when they were little boys. And if they had been allowed to cry, one, they would be happier people. And two, they would be more enjoyable to be around and less harmful to the world at large.
Yes. Yeah. I think ultimately trying to raise someone who is a kind person and who, like,
who doesn't date teenagers when they're a full-ass, greasy-haired man.
Yeah. He sees nothing wrong with this. Mm-mm. He sees nothing wrong with this. Like, it's weird. Yeah, I feel like these people are going to weigh on our lives for the next couple. We are not going to escape them for a bit.
I really was disappointed in Miri.
Yeah, because she's just treating this like a regular relationship. She's like, I think that's what you think. Like, Mary, you were coming out of here with zingers in the past. Like, can't you tell her that, like, that's clearly, like, an old ass, like, an older man. Probably your teacher. Is he your teacher? Like, she has no conversation for her other than to be like, don't involve me in this. I think you think he's cheating on you.
Right.
That's what it's giving. Like, I'm not involved in your
what
drama.
What she should be saying is, Paige, that's a greasy grown ass man.
What, like, about, he can't even put baby powder in his hair.
What about that nice Alex girl?
Alex seems like a solid choice. She's here to work on time. She got you your job back after your dumbass boyfriend at the time tanked that for you. You know, like, maybe you should think about your choices. No. Yeah, Paige ain't gonna see the light for a while. Mm-mm. Even when she's, and I'm not upset about his apartment. I'm upset.
No. I mean, I am, because nobody should be living like
no
that.
No one should be living like that. I think that it's more that I am upset that we are forced to think that this is cute, right, and whimsical. And, oh, he wasn't cheating on her. He just has his shitty apartment and he's just.
Well, like, and I wonder, did I can't remember how I felt about this storyline when it came out.
I was indifferent. I felt like it didn't. It. So for Paige, I didn't like most of the people she dated.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really like her and Spinner because I thought that they were annoying. I remember not thinking that Oleander was hot.
But it wasn't.
It wasn't like offensive to me. Or like, ew, this is gross. Definitely not.
Yeah, see, and that's upsetting, because that's the way it's written, is to not be offensive. You may just not think Mr. Oleander's hot.
Right. Like, I wouldn't date him, but whatever. It's like, it's very much like they are putting him on level ground with Paige. Like, he is any other eligible bachelor when there are significant issues with their relationship. And right. I just don't think it's responsible when I was way too young to be watching the show, as we've established.
Right.
To like, because like, I never wanted to pursue any relationship above, you know, I didn't find any of my teachers attractive. I thankfully was never around teachers who found me attractive. There was none of that ever happened, but like, it did expose me, I guess, to some sort of indifference. Mm-hmm. About being passed a note. And she literally says, Paige literally says, I've never been passed a note. A teacher's never passed me a note before.
Right.
And no, it's like, and it's weird.
I wasn't way too, I was the target demographic. And yeah, I'm trying to think. I kind of like, I remember being worried that they were going to get caught and shit. Like,
you're like, don't get caught, bitches. Yeah. Because they put some stakes in it for you that make you kind of want to care about them. Especially, like, the whole, like, that music, that guitar music, it always, it's like, oh, everything's okay music. Oh, we're learning new information that makes you feel different music. Oh, it does a couple different things.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally think that we are supposed to continue to empathize with Matt. And therefore want their relationship to work, because we keep learning things about Matt that, like, people are saying bad things about him or whatever, and it turns out not to be true.
Yeah.
Like, he's just truly, like, he talks about the glamour of the relationship, all the glamour this relationship had gone, which is, sorry for that.
What
sorry.
Glamour? Making out in the
sorry
fucking
for
boiler
that sound,
room?
Guys. I'm so sorry if that bothered you. Yeah, it's just weird. I don't doubt that his maturity level is right on par with Paige. However, because they're acting like two kids, but he should know better. And I think he still does know better.
Right.
But he's acting like he doesn't. And doing things that are clearly risky. And, like, going along with things that she thinks are a good idea when it's clear, like, he is saying, like, no. Like, it's like how we were talking about a Neutron Dance, how he gave her no kind of encouragement. She's talking about he's acting
like a jealous boyfriend.
A jealous boyfriend. And it's like, when did he do that?
Is the jealous boyfriend in the room with us right now?
Right. It's like, he has been very either or with her. Either he's completely in her face ooey gooey, or he's like, no, we can't do this.
Right. No, the
so
whole...
that leads me to believe he knows right and wrong, bitch.
Right.
He knows he's wrong. That's why he flew out of that Cineplex so fast. He was like...
Right, because Miri looks like she's going to be a grown-up and be like, Paige, what is this grown-ass man bothering you?
He's like, gotta put feet to the road, bye.
And like, even if he wasn't her teacher and too old for her and like a person who is afraid of shampoo, he's a lousy boyfriend.
Yeah, he's not... I personally am not a fan of the sneak around thing. I know people think it's hot. I've never thought it was hot.
Mm-hmm.
I've never thought the, oh, secret boyfriend, secret girlfriend, secret relationship thing was hot. I don't, if you can't hold my hand in broad daylight, or not even hold my hand, because I don't always need to touch my girlfriend. If we can't be out together in broad daylight, I don't need it. I don't need it. It's not for me. For one reason or another, it's not for me. So the nature of that, and that he is so not trying to make efforts for them to, like, actually, like, it's clear that she wants to spend time together.
Mm-hmm.
He's making no efforts for that to happen. Like, you're the adult. You know you guys can go a town over and you're nobody's going to really most likely know what's going on with you. You know that if you go to the place where she works so that you can get free movie tickets.
But he can't afford the gas to drive a town over and then pay for movie tickets to boot.
But they don't need to go to the town over to pay and do movie tickets. They can take a train ride or some kind, because I know there's public transit, and then they can like go to a park or something a town over. They don't need to like think poor, Matt. Don't think poor and lazy.
Seriously.
You can either be like, you need to pick your struggle. You can't be poor and lazy. You got to be poor and innovative, because it's hard out here and everything costs money. Like, everything costs money, guys. You know how many parks I visited this summer and read my book that I got from the library? So many parks, because I'm poor. I'm house poor. I have a mortgage and that shit costs money. There are free ways to have a cute date. And I think that he was being very lazy about it and not even communicating, because Paige has a little money. Like, she has cab fare. She works.
Right. She works and her family has money.
And her family has money. They just make her work to get in the off chance that she... Well, no, she's paying
Spinner back.
Oh, right. Is she still paying Spinner back?
Yeah.
Right. I think we get that. I think we get an episode where she's like, this is the last payment I owe you or whatever. I feel like that happens.
You could be right.
I feel like it hasn't happened yet, because they have to have a where they reunite and they're like friends again. They have to have that whole thing. They're not done yet. But I keep forgetting that she's paying off his shit. I keep forgetting that. Because I'm like, originally she got that job because she needed to fix her hair.
No, that was when she went out with JT.
That's when she went out with JT to be paid. And they ended up at the Cineplex. So that's why I'm thinking of that Cineplex. Yeah, no, she's still in debt. But I'm sure between the two of them, they could afford car fare, which is what we in the Northeast... Do you call it car fare?
No.
Okay, I guess what we in the Philly area call like, you know, fare to take any transit. Call it car fare, even if you're taking like the train.
Okay.
It's weird. I know. That's what I grew up calling it.
Car that's care. What you guys call it.
I don't say use. That is a South Philly thing. But yes, that is what we call it.
I think you mean that is what we guys call it.
Sure, Caroline. You do it better than I would.
You guys.
Yeah. I see it. When you say it, I see the spelling. But yeah, I think this is one of the first times that we've had like this lengthy a discussion about the B plot, because I don't know about you, but I struggle through the A plot.
I don't care about this A plot at all.
Well, it's going to be of less consequence. I guess we had to. So, I mean, do we have anything more to say about Greasy Oleander and Miss Debutante Page?
Let me check my notes, you know, because like that's the smart, responsible thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get Manny being supportive of it.
The only thing I like about Manny in this episode is her little uniform that she's got on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she is way too eager to hear the tea and to give her girlfriend opinion.
I guess, like, she doesn't have a best friend right now.
Yeah, it's not I don't like the situation. I don't like any of the B plot because it's like, why is everybody so cavalier about this? Why is everybody so okay with this?
Right.
Like this, and she's like, it's so obvious. Like, they are sneaking around, quote unquote, sneaking around because it's not legal, Manny. It's illegal.
Right. Where is your energy from fucking mother-child reunion?
Right. Like, hello, 911? Like, you need...
Right, truly. Claire Edwards would never let this fly.
Way Claire would tuck around the corner and be like, hello, 911? Like, I cannot with Manny. Like, why are you so okay with this, Manny? You knew.
You know better.
You know better. But I guess for this episode, you don't. No. So.
You're just like, yep. Yep.
Because it can't be Hazel. It can't be Hazel that you're dishing to. Because
Hazel smack would you in be the like,
forehead and, exactly. and drag you to your mother.
Everybody's moms. Like we said hello, the other day. She'd be calling Mr. Oleander's mom, like, come get your greasy ass son.
You know what he's been doing down here in Toronto? Wreaking havoc. He has been running amuck. Come and get his greaseball ass.
I mean, victim.
Ask him when she was born and what grade she's in.
How'd they meet?
Yeah, Hazel would blow the whistle on all of this bullshit.
Right?
Hazel is, like, not the one nor the two. Like, she is just relaxing from the, you know, Jimmy's bullshit. And now right? She's, like, she's turning around to see her best friend enchanted by a grease ball. Lord Farquaad. Just stretched out.
Stop! Okay.
All right.
It's not inaccurate. I mean, he doesn't have the hat, but his greasy, gross hair kind of looks like the hat.
It's got volume somehow. It's like a greasy cap with tendrils. So upset. This, can you tell we're excited to talk about the A-plot we didn't brought up? All right, I don't have anything else to say.
I'm upset. Fucking greaseball on my screen, that's disrespect.
There was way too much of him on screen for this episode. Way too much.
Okay. So anyway, the A-plot starts out with Ellie getting a knock on her door from her very angry landlord who is like, you haven't paid your rent and somebody took my eyebrows.
Literally, so S was watching my first watch with me in bed last night and she was like, what is this? When she saw the part when he was like, where is Sean? Is Sean coming back or something? And he, like, steps into the apartment and she's like, what the fuck are you watching?
Right? No, sir, you cannot enter my apartment without 48 hours notice unless it is an emergency.
Right. Like, it was giving slight horror movie vibes. Like, he was about to knock her over and, like,
yeah, cut he's her up. A very tough guy.
Yeah, he's not, the vibes are scattered because he does kind of do like a moment of like take a step back when he sees that Ferret Bueller is roasting.
Right? He's like, I guess I'm not going to yell at you about having a ferret in here since it's not really a problem anymore.
Oh, that problem has solved itself.
I have known, like, I know plenty of people with ferrets and they let their ferrets like run free sometimes.
Yeah, but like,
especially if your ferret is known to chew electrical cords. Like, she is going out the door.
Why is Bueller
just like
running, frolicking like he's a dog?
Right.
Like, no, ferret Bueller should have a nice little, I think they line them with like hay sometimes, like a little area where he can drink water and he can run on his, like, not his wheel, but like, because I remember my family had a ferret, Farah was her name.
It's Ferret Farah. Original.
Super original. I think she was named after Farah Fawcett, though.
Okay.
So, you know, so a little bit less. But she had her own little drinky bottle. She had her own little, like, she could get her pellets down. Like, she had to do something to manually bring the pellets down because she was smart. They're smart.
They're smart. They're, like, leaving rich.
She just needed her little
them.
Area. Yeah, like, she honestly, I believe they left the cage open a lot of the time so she could go in and out.
Yeah.
But just give her her space to go in and out.
But like,
give Ferret Bueller a home base,
right?
So he can chew on the cage and not electrical
cords.
In
that home base when you're not home,
right? So you can protect him because he would chew on the cage, not electrical cords. Because I've heard that, you know, if you see him chewing on electrical cords, why would you let that prosper?
Because Ellie's a horrible pet owner. And, like, when she's like, I have the rent. I just don't know how to pay the rent. Like, what does that mean, Ellie?
She's like, I didn't know where your geotag was. I didn't know where to find you. Well, clearly, I'm sure there was a better way than just hoarding the rent and making it late. But Ellie just seems like the type to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, she sees Ferret Bueller chewing on cords. I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Out. It'll be fine,
I don't think, we'll see. I think it'll be fine. Sizzle, sizzle. Poor thing.
Yeah.
I mean, at least she admits that she's sorry she couldn't take care of him better.
Yeah.
I appreciate that because I was pissed off for the ferret. That is a cool name for a ferret.
Can we talk about how, like, when she's at the table before school with them and she's like, Bueller was Sean's baby. And, like, that boy had no interest in that ferret from what we saw.
You are the one who brought he was like, you already purchased and procured, you already brought the ferret into the home. She's like, but a home's not a home without a pet. And he's like, I don't share that opinion. But okay.
Right. That's not a thing that you just do.
Like, you discuss nothing with me.
Like,
we could have talked about this. Maybe Ferret Bueller grew on him. But certainly he was not the one championing his existence in the home. That was you.
Right. No, it...
Yeah. Yeah. She loves her version of events. And then what really happened... is different.
Damn, you just read her for filth.
It's fine because I realized I still have a love for Ellie. Here's how I've arrived after thinking about Ellie critically for four seasons, two seasons, bitch, right? She only been in this bitch for two seasons. She is not a bad character. I think that I just had such a soft spot for her because I have codependency issues.
Yeah.
And she has very heavy codependency issues, which manifest rather conveniently in this episode, actually. But I have a soft spot for her because baby A loved her. But I also can recognize that she need some milk and then some other things. So... Like, she gets on my nerves in this episode because she just gloms onto Alex mm-hmm. after being, quote-unquote, friends with her for a day.
Right. They're really they've hung out.
Well, they've hung out, but not in any capacity that Alex would have called her a friend.
Right.
It seems like this whole foursome of Euchre, you know, obviously we don't know how long these things have been going on because they are conveniences for the episode.
It does seem that this, like, presidential pre class euchre game has yeah. been going on for a while.
For a while, right? And this is just the first. And I'm sure that at this point, we can assume that because it's covering a whole school year, and we still get the same number of episodes for a while, at least in the future, that we're getting a couple weeks between episodes because Jimmy came back to school yeah. in the previous episode. So it's got to have been maybe a month-ish, maybe 3 weeks or so since the previous episode. And those uniforms came in that they were fundraising for at the car wash at, what was that? That was before the shooting.
Yeah. It's the Degrassi timeline is weird.
The pause that we both had, like, because we know that Jimmy had to do some level of, like, physical therapy, and he was in the hospital for a couple months, and if not, maybe just, like, 2 months, but, like.
Right. Well, it's, yeah. No, a lot has happened this year, yeah. and, like, including not super consequential shit, but, like, still, like, shit. Like, and then God knows how much has happened off screen. No, I think that Alex and Ellie are pretty chill at this point because between Sean and Jay being besties
mm-hmm.
and then the fact that Alex and Marco have become friends.
Which is because of student government, which is crazy.
And she punched yeah. best friend Amy into the black hole. So like
she needs a new gal pal. Yeah, I think it's funny, like, you know, of course we talked about Alex and her overall involvement in the actual events that happened to Jimmy. And I think in a way, I don't know that we absolved her. I don't know that we get to do that. But I think that we've come to a consensus that, like, I think people say, oh, why didn't she get this, you know, level of punishment that Jay and Spinner got? Well, it's because she's not as culpable as Jay and Spinner. She's culpable in the tar and feathering. She's not culpable in planting the whole thing on Jimmy. And the planting the whole thing on Jimmy was what caused the shooting.
Right.
You know, did he have the gun? Yes. Was he going to use the gun if nothing else happened that day?
If Paige had not apologized to him in the calf, I think that Alex would be more culpable.
Yes,
but Paige changed the course of events,
which is why they are star-crossed lovers. No, I think that, you know, that was cute. That has nothing to do with it, though. But it's definitely interesting about how one person's decision can change a course of events. And yes, there would have been shooting in the cafeteria had Paige not, you know, said what she said,
right,
and disarmed him. Emotionally. It's just, I think that part of me is like, damn, she's sitting at the table with, you know, with Jimmy, you know, like it. And I think part of you, I think you're supposed to think that a little bit. You're supposed to be like, wow, her social circle has changed.
Right.
And now she's like playing poker, poker, because that is going to be an issue for Marco coming up, mm-hmm. playing euchre.
God, I miss playing euchre.
Can you explain, did Marco explain it very well? Because, like, I know spades, and I know that they're in the same family, but I'm confused what you do with the pile, and I'm confused about the trump card, and yeah, I'm confused.
So, no, I haven't played euchre in a very long time, and so, no, I can't, at this juncture, explain the rules of euchre to you.
Disappointing.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I mean, he just made it sound very simple, and I feel like there's got to be more to it than that, especially explaining what the fuck a bower is. And, like, it seems more like, is that poker? Where you have, like, full house and flush and whatever.
Yeah, that's poker.
Okay.
Euchre's complicated. There's a lot of various rules. There's also like different house rules that can get added in. Mm-hmm. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. It's like I prefer spades. I know everybody plays spades differently. I like that game. It is a partner formatted game, but I think it has a book structure versus like this. And I mean, there are still points, but it's not like 1 point. It's different. Like there's a different sort of scoring value system, all of that, which makes more sense to me. But I was like, oh, I'm going to look up the rules of Euchre for this episode. And then I just didn't. Because I'm like, I want to know how to play. But, you know, maybe one day we will play because I've heard it is more common the further north you go.
Okay, so here are ways that they compare. So in Euchre, the trumps... So in spades, like, the trump suit is always spades.
Mm-hmm.
In Euchre, yeah. Like, the first thing you do, and I don't remember how it goes, but it's, like, a bidding process.
Yeah, well, you bid in spades, too.
But that's what determines what's trump.
Oh, okay. No, yeah. Spades, yeah,
it's
you not,
it's a different,
hand.
It's a different bidding process.
Okay. Oh, so you determine what's trump based off of what's in your hand.
Yeah.
Okay.
The target score in Euchre is 10 points. And it looks like in spades, it's 500.
Mm-hmm.
So they're similar, but they're different. They probably spawned from the same game.
Right. I think they like family wise, they might be cousins.
Mm-hmm.
In the card. Yeah. I would be interested. I love card games in general. I think they're interesting. I've always liked this episode for that reason. But I always wish they were playing spades so I could understand what the fuck was going on, or at least poker, because I feel like a lot of movies and TV shows choose poker because it's a little bit easier for most people know how to play it roughly. And if you don't, it's a little bit easier to explain. And like the suits and like the royal flushes and the full house, like it's a little bit more explanatory when you see it visually.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know what the Bower was supposed to be.
Let me look
comprised
that up.
Of.
Okay, hold on. What is a Bower in Euchre? This is how not interested in this A plot we are.
We're like, let's just fuck around and talk about the schematics of Euchre.
Okay. So in the game of Euchre, the Bower is a jack that is the highest or the second highest ranking card in a trump suit. There's a right Bower and a left Bower. So the right Bower is the jack of the trump suit. So if hearts are trump, the right Bower is the jack. That's the best card. The left Bower is the jack that's the same color, which is the second highest ranking card.
Okay.
It comes from the German word Bauer, which means farmer or peasant.
I mean, I guess that does roughly make sense. That's a lot more mental math as far as the cards go.
Yeah, once you know how to play Euchre, it's really fun, but I would have to relearn and it would be a pain in the ass. And I'd have to find three more people to play Euchre with me.
Yeah. Well, you know, if there's a thing as virtual Euchre, guys, you know, maybe.
Right.
Maybe we can get that. Maybe that'll be a Patreon thing. Extra Canadian, eh?
Right.
We'll see.
Thursday night Euchre with Avis and Caroline.
Thursday night Euchre with Avis and Caroline. Yeah. I feel like this A-plot is just, it's at least it ties up what's going on with Mama Nash and Ellie.
Which
I don't.
Mama Nash does not look good, but she does look sober.
Sometimes that's what sober looks like. I truly don't understand the desire to comb back her hair.
Yeah, it's a
and
weird
gel
choice.
It
looked wet.
It looked really wet.
It
I was
not
concerned.
The move.
No. Especially since her outfit did not call for that.
And she is always in pink.
Mm-hmm. It's her color. I want to see her in, like, another color.
Fuck, I would settle for a different shade of pink.
You're like, please just tone it. Just go away from salmon. go away
from
peach.
I get where Ellie's coming from, but I also think Ellie's being, like, unnecessarily mean to her mom.
She is. She is being disengaged. like, disaffected by her mom's, like, attempts to actually, like, connect with her.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, this happens every month. And she says she's been in group for 3 months. So we've got to presume that she informs her every month that, like, group is going right. well. And this is most likely the similar reaction that she gets by that news.
And, like, Ellie is entitled to her anger and her feelings and her distrust of the situation. And mm-hmm. if you want people to grow, you have to give them room to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, criticizing her and, like, making her, like, the worst mistake that she's ever made mm-hmm. when she's trying to change is not fair. And if you're not ready to have that close of a relationship with her yet because you're still resentful, that's fair.
Can we talk about the fact that when she asks Alex to move in... She's like, well, we'll split the rent, or I won't tell my mom you live here.
Yeah.
What's your mom have to do with this?
Mm.
You already told Mama Nash you ain't need her money.
As I said earlier, there is the truth, and then there's Ellie's version of the truth. She is trying, first of all, she's going to go back to her mom and be like, I'm so sorry.
No, she's not.
She's gonna be a bitch.
She would go back to her mom and be like, "I maybe didn't think things through.
Yeah, and I need a couple more months.
And I still need you to pay my rent. And you're still a drunk bitch."
And her mom be like, "Okay,
you're still a bitch for what you did to Claire Fisher."
Like, okay, Ellie, I'll write a check.
Right?
I'm upset. I'm upset. It feels like Ellie is doing the ultimate bratty, you know? Like, mm-hmm. she's going full brat. You never go full brat. I feel like Alex is just the mic check she needs, though. It's like, thank gosh Alex is there.
She needs so much more than Alex. But I do. The way that Alex puts her in her place there
mm-hmm.
is
because she's like, beautiful. I'm going to dust your codependence off of me.
And I'm also going to remind you that, like, I get hashtag sad girl is your thing. Just kidding. It's 2004. We don't have hashtags yet. but, like, I watch my mom get beat, dude.
Yeah. Like, you got it.
Like,
you
your got mom's a parent trying.
Who's actively trying to win you back.
And
you
paying your rent in the meantime.
And like, supporting you in the meantime, like, right?
My mom couldn't pay my rent if she wanted to. My mom can't pay our rent.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We just gotta know that Ellie is just... Does she come around? Sure. Did she need to be shoved into coming around? Yes.
And I do think, like, it's reasonable to be like, yeah, I'm going to test you. I'm going to call you in the middle of the night.
I want to make sure
that you,
yes,
that you can be here.
I totally thought that was reasonable. And I've always liked that
mm-hmm.
part of the episode, because that's the only part that I really feel she has she is justified in. Because as a parent, I think that's probably the one thing that you should be able to do is, like, be there for your kids whenever they need you, if you can. And it's like, you know, if you don't have a physical disability, I'm not trying to be like, oh, blanket statement. But, like, for Ellie's mom, she used to not be able to show up for her like that
mm-hmm.
because she was drunk and right. or sleeping off whatever. And she was not fit to drive a car. So I respect that being Ellie's, like, decision maker, because that's something tangible. Like, I am afraid that you will not be able to provide for me, that you will not be able to support me, that I will not be safe with you.
Right.
Like, I would like to be safe. I would like to know that if I need you, you can help me. like if I was in a genuine emergency. I respect that. I feel like that's a genuine concern.
I like though, like that she's still, and I guess it's reasonable to be like, I'm giving 2 months notice here.
Mm-hmm.
So let's, you can keep paying my rent for 2 months. Mm-hmm. And doing everything you can to show me that you're okay. And yeah. At the end of 2 months, if I believe it, I'll move back home.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, no, I think so too. And I mean, it does make me happy. Like, I think as far as Degrassi parents go, you know, almost burning down her kitchen, notwithstanding, she's not terrible. Because we have some parents that, like, we just get more of.
Well, and once...
she's not in my top five.
Once she knows that there's a problem, like, mm-hmm. and yes, she should have been aware of it sooner, but that's the nature of fucking addiction. Once yeah. she is made aware of the problem and how big it is,
yeah,
she takes herself right to rehab. And right. She does the work, and she's doing the work. And, like, yeah, it would be great if she just wasn't an alcoholic to begin with, but that's not the situation.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Not that, like, this is not, like, a Mama Nash Stan account.
No, I just think that
where credit's due.
Yeah, she's not in the ranking of the most terrible Degrassi parents because she's actually trying to grow, you know, from the situation.
And being really
put her on that
pretty
list.
Pretty patient and respectful of the fact that, like, Ellie has the feelings that Ellie has.
Yeah, and continually gives her her ass to kiss. She still is being patient and has her arms out. And I feel like a lot of that irritability that she had for Ellie before when Ellie would, you know, was related to the alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she has a lot of patience for Ellie. And even when Ellie is being, you know, a brat, she is like, oh, Ellie, you called me down here for a test. Like, you know, like she would have flipped out about that.
Right.
And Ellie wouldn't have been able to be honest about why she called. Like, but now Ellie's like, fuck it, I'm going to be honest about why I called you down here. And I think that's a growth from Ellie, too, because she was very wishy-washy with her mom and walking on eggshells because she had to be.
Well, and, like, also, it's not like she could have come, like, I mean, I guess she could technically, like, force Ellie to move home. But, mm-hmm. like, she came home from rehab and she was like, okay, I'm going to pay your rent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to keep paying your rent. Like, I'm going to respect that this is what you're telling me that you need, but yeah. also I'm going to make it known that, like, not only are you welcome home, but I would really like you to come home. I yeah. miss you, and I'm doing better now, and I can do better by you now, and I wish that you would let me do better by you now, you know?
Yeah.
And I respect that. I think she's handling shit really well, and she has since the end of Anywhere I Lay My Head.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I feel like she is... It's like, it's hard to do anything well, but I know people have said that the hardest job you can do is to raise another person. And I believe that. There's multiple ways that no one comes out unscathed. Okay. Like,
no, you're going to fuck your kid up.
You're going to fuck your kid up. That's just going to happen. But, like, to know that, like, there's still, like, allowances to, like, fuck up, but do better. Mm-hmm. Is like all I feel like in any situation of life is all we want is like the ability to start again.
Well, and I, like, nobody owes you that second chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. And I think that, like, by and large,
definitely no one owes you a second chance.
By and large, Mama Nash is showing that she knows that.
Right. That she's fucked up. And
because, like, if she felt entitled to it, she could be like, fuck you, child. I'm not paying your rent. Like, mm-hmm. come home or live on the street. If that's how you want to play it.
Correct. And I know a lot of people who would say that. And in a manner of speaking, is that, like, wrong? I think that that's just a, I mean, like, some people would think that's just a different approach to parenting. Like, wrong, oh, but I do. I'm not going to indulge you because, number one, I can't. Number two, I'm not going to let you.
Well, and I think it's important to note, like, that we are talking about this very specific
situation. This very specific situation. Because there's
so
situation.
Many factors in any other similar situation. I don't Correct. Know that it's necessarily wrong. I do think that it is indicative of feeling as though you are owed forgiveness.
Right.
Like, and I get being frustrated. Like, I get being like, come on, I did the work. I'm doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive me.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between being frustrated because your efforts are not yet enough
mm-hmm.
and being incredulous about it, you know?
Yeah, like you're not letting me apologize.
No,
yeah.
I think that Mama Nash is definitely, like, most improved.
Yeah. She and, like, the patience that she has for the situation is so necessary because Ellie is, like, one of those little rabbits. Mm-hmm. If you corner her, she's going to find a way to hop out. Like, she is very much like, I don't want to go back into that situation of feeling on edge all the time and feeling like I don't know what's going to happen. Like, she clearly is a creature of habit. She clearly likes things to stay the same. And she doesn't react well when things just suddenly happen that she has no control over. So, I'm happy that she's like, giving both of them that like relief of like, okay, we both are seeking the same thing. We don't want to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
But also, here's what I need is a guarantee that like, you're going to keep trying.
Right.
Like right. That's, I love their conversation at the end. And it's like, it's very real. Even her mom, she's like, no more drinking, mom. She's like, all I can do is promise you to try every day. I can take it day by day. And that's what I can do.
Right.
It's like they're both telling each other what they have available.
Yeah. You know? No, I think they both actually deserve most improved. Most improved mother-daughter team this
most week.
Most
improved mother-daughter duo. Yeah. Because Ellie, for all the times in this episode where she, mostly towards like Alex, where she's like, move in, it'll be so fun. Like, we're going to have a fun time. Like, I'd like this partner thing, this works for me. Like, it's clear that she wants that companionship right. back. And right. she wanted that even when she was bringing, you know, her mom's passed out on the couch and asked her to bring food, and she's bringing food and she's like trying to talk to her about her day and like trying to, but like, it's so clear that they had that before. Mm-hmm. That they had that, like, when her dad's deployed, that's that, it's them too. It's the, you know, It's
against the world.
Yes, it's us against the world. It's the Mama Nash and Ellie show. You know, it's very clear that that was the case before she got heavily into drinking.
Right.
And that Ellie wants that back and that it's been like taken from her.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I can see the vulnerability in being like, I missed you and I want you to come. I want to come home too.
Yeah.
It's yeah. beautiful.
It is. We're healing.
It makes you, yeah. It makes
okay, well,
you
maybe
really,
I like
yeah.
this A plot better.
I
kind of,
I like. I think the end scene really saves the whole plot.
Mm-hmm.
It ties it up, but it makes you feel like growth is possible. You know, like not even like honestly, Ellie's mom almost burned down the house with her in it, and they are able to come to her.
Right.
And look at them today. No, yeah, I'm tearing up over here because, like, I everybody's relationship with their mom is complicated, but I feel like the growth my mom and I have had in our relationship is immense, and like the way that we communicate and all that stuff today is there's just so
did
much.
Did your mom almost burn the house down?
She did not, but my mom was a wild thing. There was never any like specific like, oh, my mom did this wrong or anything. But it's like we definitely had times where we butt heads and like.
Yeah.
And it just was not always the most healthy situation for
Dude,
either of us.
Dude, being a daughter is hard.
Being a daughter is very hard. Even when you're like your mom. Because I'm like my mom in a lot of ways.
Especially when you're like your mom. Are you kidding?
My mom, but
because
I'm not like my
mom.
Because
it's like everything that they hate about themselves.
Mm-hmm. It's just walking around.
It's just like, right. And then it's like, Yeah, no. And like, yeah, God, yeah. I don't ever want to be a teenager again. Don't, you can't make me.
No, thank you. What I'm interested in is observing it from the outside in my home. I'm low-key excited, but I'm low-key frightened. This will be years and years and years and years from now, Pad fam. And I hope that I hope that you're here, Pasta fam. That would be really cool if we're like, hey, remember when I was talking about not having a child and now, like, they're here?
I mean, there are 18 seasons of Degrassi, but we'd have to slow way down.
We'd have to pump the brakes. I mean, I'm cool with coming back for
although the classic the boiling once point, we... You know the, what's wild is, okay, if we did
mm-hmm.
one episode per episode,
it would take us
almost a year. It would be 40 of the 52 weeks of the year.
Yeah. That boiling point is going to test our sanity.
Our saucerhood.
Our saucerhood.
We may hate each other by the end of boiling point.
It may just like be what like ends us. It's like
watch us get to the boiling point and be like, I love this. This is the best.
Like, like we're just riding through a sunny field.
Whatever it takes.
Like dung da da dung da da dung.
Oh, I was trying to do whatever the like
the bump pop the punk. Bump. Oh, I was. I don't know why I'm thinking
whatever a bouncing
vehicle is more what I was thinking. Wagon. Like, yeah, like we're bouncing in the back of a wagon and we're doing the pop punk rendition of whatever.
Oh, you don't mean like a prairie wagon. We're not
pioneers. No, I mean a prairie.
Okay,
I mean
so we're pioneers.
We're pioneers. And we've got
Pasta Pioneers.
We're Pasta Pioneers. And we have got equipment to play the pop punk version of Whatever It Takes.
Why am I picturing like the cover of like a fucking Little House book?
Yep. And Ma just tucked her hair in her bonnet. You know. We're just bouncing in the back. Yep, yep, yep.
Y'all can't like, see boy, it, but we thing. Are both just sitting here, like, bouncing.
Bounce. Ding, like ding, 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 it is heavy ding, back there. Ding. It's more heavy than usual, huh, Paul? Yeah. Yeah, y'all. But I think we surprised ourselves. At least I did enjoy it more than I thought. It wasn't painful. It was good.
I mean,
it was
a good episode. It's never painful talking about Degrassi with you.
No, it is never painful talking about it. Like, even if the episode itself was like, I'm like, okay, we're gonna jam about this.
I mean, sometimes it's painful because, like, you have to talk about, like, I know you. The real you.
It makes sometimes there's maximum cringe. Yeah, I found that I had less fun watching the B plot versus the A plot. The B plot was like I couldn't look away.
Yeah, no, the B plot sucks. It's painful.
Bad B plot. A plot.
Go up to your room and think about what you did. Scram! Just leave her alone. Okay, we're getting loopy.
We are, and it's the morning.
Is there anything else in the A plot that we really need to cover?
I do have one thing.
Okay.
How did Ellie furnish this apartment? She's got like a bar area in the back. She's got like a little table. That's a built-in?
Yeah, the bar area is a built-in thing, and we see it in our house too. I assume.
Okay.
Okay, that so table. What I think is that Tracker Cameron left furniture behind for Sean Cameron.
Mm.
And then considering Sean, like, moved on a whim back to Wasega to live with his parents where there's already furniture. Stuff.
Yeah, she packs up his, like, boxes of
right,
his ship.
Right, but
and
he's
not
going
to
be like, I don't want my half-broken coffee table. You know what I mean?
I'm like, it just looks very impressive for, like, a first apartment. That you technically don't even pay for anything inside
it's
of it.
It's because she inherited everything inside of it.
Hmm.
Except for Ferret Bueller, who's now dead. Rest in peace.
R.I.P. Ferret Bueller.
Pour one out. Let's head on down to the fashion corner.
Yes, a corner that is
lacking in season four as a whole, really. I feel like it's been a trend.
It has.
My first one is I like Ellie's first outfit. It's very simple. She's wearing a black skirt, gray top. She's got a fishnet top underneath her t-shirt and fishnets underneath her skirt. And then she's got some like knee-high boots. It's simple. I like it.
Yeah. For me, I notice Paige's like little Chihuahua Chi-Chi shirt.
I did too, in how like not Paige it was.
Yeah.
And how like young.
Right. Like, I don't really like. First of all, I'm just having a continued problem with Lauren's hair. I don't like how teased it looks and how, like, not one, like, it's not smooth. Mm-hmm. And so every outfit is thrown off and it makes her look a little bit younger. I don't know. It's a little weird. But yeah, that's like, there's a bedazzled collar. I just don't.
It's got words on it.
It's got words. It's not grade
9 anymore.
Yeah, I personally don't really think, and is it because they're trying to make her look younger and emphasize that she's a kid? I don't think that they're that, like, cunning
or calculated. Well, and given the way that they present this relationship, I don't know why they'd be doing that.
Right, shooting themselves in the foot is probably not on the agenda, but yeah, I that was a very bizarre outfit for me.
My next one is Mama Nash at lunch. In her pink sweater and her, which, like, the sweater's fine, but then her hair.
Yeah, her hair, good golly. Miss Molly. Yeah. Her hair is just, right, like I said, just a problem I have. Just a little conversation I would like to have with you, Miss Nash. Mrs. Nash, like, what are you doing? But I have an equally serious problem with what the fuck Paige has on when she goes to the Cineplex, because it's just too many
light things. Colors.
Yeah, it's like, I thought at first that she was wearing like all tan, but then when you zoom in, she's wearing like a pale pink cowboy hat
and a yellow shirt over a white shirt.
A gold. If it's catching the light, gold. Like, that's my bad. But it looks like she has a gold necklace on and like a silver bracelet, which, given the other things she has on, is possible. And she also has these, I mean, very on trend baggy cargo pants with too many pockets that are tapered in a very weird way and also gathered just under the knee.
Yeah,
question mark.
Weird. It's a weird outfit.
Is there like a strap that she tightened for it to go that, like, for it to go around her, like, because it's like right under, it's like it hurt the top of her calf. Mm-hmm. It's weird. And then these shoes, I can't see a lot of them, but they look a little funky, like maybe they're gold and they've got some kind of wrapping design, like either it's a, like you can see her foot or there might be like some kind of cutout design on the shoe. It's not, and it's like weird, a weird departure from the Chi-Chi shirt. I'm concerned.
Well, she is trying to be incognito.
Is that what this is? Because she just is like pastel cowboy.
Yeah, no.
Cowgirl. It's like, not, it's not.
It's not giving, don't pay attention to me at all. It's giving.
She needs to borrow. You know
what it's giving?
What?
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
That's what I was thinking. She needs to borrow. She needs to borrow Craig's trench coat because that would be better for this situation.
As we say often here, choices were made. Yeah, so it's like super casual, but I like Alex's outfit where she's got like the cargo pants and just like a simple green hoodie over her normal top.
Okay, but what are those, Caroline?
Oh, I didn't see the shoes. Tim's were stylish at that point.
I don't like these Tims. These Tims, I will post a picture of her leg on the socials when we drop this episode. Because these, my friends, are no's. You don't wear, I don't. Because those are not.
Get to the job site right after work. This office clearly park isn't going to build itself.
I mean, clearly, because I love her. I love the pants that she has on. It's very, like, as her outfit, her vibe for a while is very Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
I like the drop crotch pants that she's wearing. They, you know, complement the hoodie. It's a cute cut hoodie because it's, like, cropped. Yeah, like, she's rocking it. Her hair has grown out, so she's got this cute little cut, and it's all dark and nice. Yeah. No highlights. I think it's great. This is peak Alex. However, those shoes, I can't with those shoes, and I won't, because she's got to go to a job site. All right, anything else
for fashion?
I did have one accessory mention for Ellie's backpack, and I feel like I've seen this before, but I don't know why it's standing out to me so much in this episode. But it's like her red backpack that's like very cutely, it's like a little square. And I mean, it looks like it can fit the exact amount of books you need. And like miscellaneous shit. Like, it's not too much, it's not too little. Because, like, Marco's carrying a little case that looks like he could, that's too slim, he could just carry, like, a book in there.
Right.
But I like Ellie's bag, and it's red. I'm sure she's been carrying it at other points this season, but for some reason, it captured me this episode. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You want to hit me with your first shot?
Pew, 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 pew.
Shots fired.
Yeah, I'm going to just be petty and I'm going to fire a shot at Ellie for letting Bueller chew on electrical cords.
Nice. My first shot is, you named your ferret Bueller.
Oh my gosh.
And mine then comes. Does yours Jimmy's come immediately after?
Yes.
Go ahead then.
Jimmy's, Alex, a heart, try to find one.
My next one is Ellie to her mom, just being like, yeah, I told Marco I'd meet him. Her mom's like, I miss you. And she's like, yeah, I have to meet Marco. Fuck you, mom.
It's like, bye, mom, I don't care about you. I think mine is after that. When Mary says, want to make that permanent, in response to Paige saying she is off shift.
Mine is before that, and it's Ellie again. Okay. If you're proud of me being independent, watch me go one step further. After this month, I won't take any more of your money. I won't need you, Mom. Not anymore.
Mm-hmm. Her mom's like, and then she touches her head, and she's got that huge fucking rock on her finger.
Yeah.
You can pay my rent, Mama. You can afford it. I have Craig saying, Marco, with your hair all big like that, you kind of look like Ashley.
It's legit. Before that, I have Paige telling Manny that the reject twins are sick. Which, why am I just picturing, like, it's Heather and Erica, and they're still, like, styled like the 80s, and also, like, they're the video quality of the 80s?
Oh my gosh, that would be hilarious. This show does, I mean, honestly, the level of which this show does not take itself seriously might allow for that.
It could have been a good mini.
Yes, it could have been a very good mini. I have got Hazel saying, you doing the nod of sleep is not attractive.
I have Alex saying, move to Wasega with Sean if you're lonely, or suck it up and go home.
Yes, I have, right before that, I said, Alex says, and this is the horrible woman you hate?
And right after that, I have the Hockey Boys Are Waiting, which is, it's a double shot fire just for calling them the Hockey Boys, followed by, when you come back to the table, leave the sucky girl behind.
Mm-hmm. And Alex is just rounding this out for me. My last one is Alex saying, "You're bugging me, Ellie."
So mine, I have two more, and one is right before that, and it's her saying, "Relax, here, look at the pretty
cards. Look at the pretty cards, yeah."
And then after that, when she says, "You really ought to believe in people more."
Yes.
Which I guess that's a thing we didn't really touch on in the A plot is...
Yeah, their relationship.
Well, and just Ellie in general, and not being able to, like, trust people.
Even though she gloms to them and is... Mm-hmm. Honestly, that is a big thing about codependency. I won't lie to you. Trust issues is a whole thing. And if I were to psychoanalyze myself, which I don't want to do, I relate to that heavily, though, wanting people around but not fully being able to trust that they're going to, like, come through for you. She's definitely has, like, issues with people coming through for her.
Yeah.
And she would rather, like, not take that gamble or that risk,
which
ultimately.
Which felt.
Yeah, which is valid. Which is valid like salad. Like, her mother literally has fucked her over in the truth-telling department, and I think that she has just been very, like, strung along in a number of situations that dealt with dishonesty and stuff, and she is just not sure when it comes down to it that she is going to be taken care of.
Yeah.
Which is very, very understood by, I'm sure, both of us. So I'm sure all of you guys have had that moment too. It's like, hey, this is my rent, and I might have bet that in a very casual way, but I'm also not casually trying to be homeless. So can we, yeah. Can we not? Can I pull this? Can we not do this? Can we not do this? Can we not do this? And Alex is just like, I am not going to lose my money and your money. Sit the fuck down. Like, I got us. Like, we're good. Like, trust me. You were wanting me to move in your house 5 minutes ago. Trust me. Yeah.
So, who shines this week?
I would say that our dynamic duo shines. We love growth on this show. I walked away feeling very happy watching Mama Nash and Ellie's final scene.
Yeah, I think their final scene brings them both around enough. I mean, not that, like, Mama Nash, I think, shined from the get.
She shines way more than Ellie because Ellie is the one who has to come around. But we also have to account for the fact that, like, Ellie doesn't know what she doesn't know. Like, she can't be sure what the truth is. She's just got to have faith. Craig, you know the words. Yeah, so I think that they shine, you know, equal, different tiers, but we don't split hairs here. They both shine. We love growth.
I'm gonna
Ellie's
give it
not
to
shining
Alex
the
too.
Whole time.
I'm gonna give it to Alex too.
Yes, Alex is a real friend, and she multiple times, even though they hadn't been like okay. At having this dynamic with each other where they're playing euchre as partners, she still protects Ellie and, like, let's not use all of your rent money, you know, like, here's the strategy, and being very, like, clear cut with her about, like, hey, this is not going to be a big sleepover. Like, this is real life. Like, you have issues. I have issues, but your issues seem like, you know, somebody's trying to help you
pedestrian.
Work on them. Your issues seem pedestrian and you need to suck it up and go home or go to a Sega. I'm not the boss of you. And yeah, no, I think Alex definitely shines. I liked her already, but I was like, damn it, Alex, I got to take that break and not in liking you because you do some shit. But like thinking about her critically, it's way more a nuanced situation than I ever considered watching this show before now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just watching way more closely. But yeah, she definitely shines in this episode. I would say,
I kind of feel like that's it.
Yeah, because like Marco's
fine.
He's not doing enough to tip the scales either way. Manny bummed me out.
Manny's a bummer. Even though she's a victim, Paige is a bummer.
Yeah.
Mr. Oleander is a bummer.
Yeah.
Mary bummed me out.
Suck it, Mary. You're supposed to be, like, an adult.
Right?
You can adults recognize adults. You can tell that that's a grown man. Yeah.
Does it go there?
Does it go there?
No.
No.
Not at all, darling. But still a very touching episode. Still tied some stuff up. We get our payoff.
Mm-hmm. It's a worthwhile episode.
It's a worthwhile episode. It doesn't go there. I love that the more that we get into the show, we have, you know, we talked about in the beginning of the show where you have your lower stakes episodes to balance out your higher stakes episodes. And it's not that the stakes are low in this episode. It's just that we don't have things that we're going to have we have had. We don't have the occurrences that would warrant going there, especially as season 4's going there is different from season 3's going there.
Yeah. People get shot in season 4. People get STIs in their throats. Okay.
Bar is a little bit higher.
Just a little bit.
No.
Just a little bit higher.
Euchre and rehab. Moms in rehab is not making that list. But yeah.
Thanks for listening to Your Mom's Podcast. Join us next week to watch Chester and his equally milquetoast brothers crash Emma's slumber party in Modern Love. This episode of Your Mom's Podcast was made possible in part by PetSmart, Alcoholics Anonymous, and support from listeners like you. Boom.
Lovely.
Killed it.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers. Tay,
Evie Pacini,
Miranda Bickers,
and Octavia Faith.
And a special thanks to our Titty Snake producers,
Alika Fenderson,
Corey Newton,
Tawny Marie,
and Brandy Tucker.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Ew, I hate how I said thank you. Thank you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-podcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. PAHDCAST. Thank you.